Welcome on into the Wasatch Basketball Podcast. I'm your host, CJ Dieters. Today's episode, we're going to be covering the first few days of the NBA, trends that we're seeing, weird decisions in roster construction and guys that are still out there in free agency, and just a quick overlook at teams that are interesting, that are so far, it's very, very early in the season, but so far playing above expectation, and teams that are maybe struggling a little bit right now. So first off, the first thing I want to talk about is a couple of rookies that are immediately having a big impact on their team. First off is Chris Duarte for the Indiana Pacers. Now, Caris LeVert is out with injury, and so Chris Duarte has gotten the start. And he's, both games, he has been very impactful for the Indiana Pacers. He had 31 points in his first game. In the second game, he had 15 points, 5 boards, and 6 assists. And he looks like he knows what he's doing out there. There's times where he has a few rookie mistakes, and he looks a little lost. But for the most part, he looks like he's been in the league for a couple years. Now, part of that is the fact that he is 24 years old. When the draft process started, I wasn't super high on Chris, and that's a big reason was because he was going to be 24. But the more I got watching him, it was like, yeah, he's older, but he's going to be able to come in and immediately have an impact on a team. There's not going to be all, 2 or 3 years of just developing the player, and he's going to be a negative player those 3 years up until you finally feel ready that he's, ready to go. And by that point, guys are 22, 23, 24 years old by the time they reach the point where they're actually going to have an effect on a team. So Chris Duarte is looking great. The other one is Scotty Barnes, who is the number 4 overall pick by the Toronto Raptors. In the first game, he really didn't have that big of an impact. With Pascal Siakam being out and Kyle Lowry no longer being on the Raptors, OG Anunoby had to step up and try and take over as a primary option. And his game's just not suited for that. So in the first game, they really struggled. OG just couldn't hit those types of shots. He's more of a, wide open in the corner type of guy. He's not going to be able to create his own offense very well. And so in the second game, I think Scotty Barnes just kind of decided, like, hey, if we're going to win games, I've got to step up and have an impact here, because OG's just not the type of player that can take over as the number one guy, which I don't think Scotty Barnes is either, but he can definitely have a huge impact on the floor. And in their second game, he was able to go out there. I think he got 18 points. I think it was either 11 or 13 rebounds, dished out a bunch of assists. He had some big hustle plays where he caught offensive rebounds and dunked them back in. He played some great defense, and the Raptors destroyed the Celtics. And we'll get into the Celtics later when we talk about teams that are either living above expectations or below. So one of the things I wanted to talk about in this episode was the weird roster constructions that we're seeing, the weird lineups. I think the one that immediately stands out is the Cleveland Cavaliers. They've decided that they're going to play with 3 7-footers in the starting lineup. They've got Jared Allen, Evan Mobley, and Lauri Markkanen, who are all 7 feet tall, in the starting lineup. And so far, it's been tough for them to create offense, because Evan Mobley and Lauri Markkanen can stretch the floor, but if they're being guarded by a perimeter player anyway, it really doesn't make that big of a difference. And while they do have some playmaking skills, it's not the same as playing a wing out there that can really create. Now, they are able to put together a couple pretty good showings in their first couple games. They lost the first 2 games, but they're looking like a better team this year. But it's just weird to see the lineup decisions that they've decided to make, And then Kevin Love and Dean Wade both get a good amount of minutes off the bench. You know, they're both bigs. So they constantly always have at least two bigs on the floor at all times. Meanwhile, you look at a team like the Charlotte Hornets, and I'm kind of thinking that they might be better off to just not play a center at all. You know, they have Mason Plumlee, and he can grab some boards, and he can throw some good passes, but I think that they'd be better suited to run Miles Bridges, P.J. Washington, or Jalen McDaniels at the center spot. They're loaded with guys in the 6'6 to 6'9 range that can score, can shoot, can play make a little bit, can rebound. They have a very versatile team, but for whatever reason, they keep trying to play Mason Plumlee a lot of minutes. And I think, and again, it is early season. You know, he's still got to learn their team, but I think they'd be better served going with a wing-heavy lineup. You know, if you look at guys in that 6'6 to 6'9 range that can play multiple positions, you know, they've got Gordon Hayward, LaMelo Ball, Kelly Oubre, P.J. Washington, Miles Bridges, Cody Martin, Jalen McDaniels. Like, this is a team that is very loaded with talent there. And then they have some very talented guards in Terry Rozier and Ish Smith to go along with those guys. So it's kind of the polar opposite of what the Cavaliers are running there. And then the last team that's kind of surprising with how they're running things, and it's not really the guys they're putting on the floor, it's just the fact that they don't really run an offense, and that's the New York Knicks. The Knicks have a lot of talent, a lot of offensive talent this year, and they still have pretty good defensive players. But they don't really run an offense. It's just kind of, okay, we come down the floor. All right, now it's Evan Fournier's turn to score. Okay, and next time we come down, now it's Julius Randle's turn. And then the next time, now it's RJ Barrett or Kemba Walker. Guys come off the bench, now it's Alec Burke's turn or Derrick Rose's turn or Emmanuel Quickley or Obi Toppin. Like, there's not really a team concept there. It's just kind of, all right, now it's your turn to go one-on-one and go score. So I kind of feel like that's going to hurt them in the long run. Against teams that aren't great, they'll be able to beat teams like that. You know, they beat the Celtics in the first game, which was actually a double overtime game. And then they just stomped the Magic in this last game. That game got out of hand quick. It went from being, I think it was 19-16. And then next thing you know, it's 56-25. They just stomped them. Oh, the last team that I want to talk about, that roster construction is just weird, is the Los Angeles Lakers. So since LeBron James and Anthony Davis got there, everybody, except for, I guess, the Lakers, has gone like, oh, if those two are going to be your big stars, you need to space the floor around them and give them plenty of help defenders. And the Lakers have decided that, nope, that is the exact opposite of what we want to do. So they made the trade for Russell Westbrook, which I will probably never stop saying that that was the dumbest trade ever, especially because you had a trade lined up for Buddy Hield from the Kings, which would save you money. It'd give you a guy that complements Anthony Davis and LeBron James a lot better. It gives you a younger player. I mean, and it would give you the ability to have more flexibility with how you built this roster instead of just going around the league and going, hey, which well over 30 years old guys want to come and play for the Lakers on a minimum contract? Because that's how they had to build this roster. It wasn't, oh, we have these three guys, now we need to pick this type of player and this type of player. No, it was just, what old guys are out there and are willing to take a minimum contract to come play for us? Russell Westbrook's been horrible for them in the preseason and in these first two games. He put up a decent stat line in the second game, but in the minutes that he was in the game, he destroyed the Lakers. They were horrible when he was in there. And he still kept doing his whole stupid baby cradle thing that he does, even though the Lakers were down by like 20 points. One of the dumbest trades ever. And it's only magnified by the fact that you had a way better trade already lined up before they made it. But with that, let's move into teams that are living above expectations and teams that are living below expectations. So first off, let's start with the Kings. The Kings are 1-1. They beat the Portland Trailblazers in their first game, and then they gave the Jazz a big challenge in that second game. They play very, very fast, and they have good athletes on this roster. Now, I don't expect them to make the playoffs. I think they'll be close, but they're playing a lot better than I thought. And the big reason I don't think that they'll make the playoffs is I just don't see any way that Harrison Barnes is going to continue to put up these amazing performances that he has. I mean, he's putting up better stat lines than he did when he was the number one option with the Dallas Mavericks. But they're an exciting team. They run the ball like crazy. They want to get up and down the floor a ton. De'Aaron Fox is an exciting point guard. Davion Mitchell comes off the bench and plays great perimeter defense. Now, his team defense still needs a lot of work. And, he's a rookie. That's to be expected. But his one-on-one defense is pretty dang good. Buddy Hield is putting himself in good standing right now to be sixth man of the year. He comes off the bench for them and just knocks down shots, makes things really tough on the opposing defense. They have a pretty good center rotation with Rashawn Holmes, Tristan Thompson, and Alex Len. Like this, and Tyrese Halliburton's in his second year, and he was really good in his rookie year. He's off to a little bit of a slow start in these first two games, but I'm sure he'll find a rhythm as the season goes on. So this is a team that I was expecting to again, be at the very bottom of the West. But they might surprise teams and may actually work their way into like the play-in games. Another team that's relatively surprising here early on, and you got to keep in mind, a lot of teams have still only played one game. Most teams have played two. So we're very early in the year. But another team that's been kind of surprising is the Golden State Warriors. Now, Steph Curry, I think, should have been the MVP last year. He was amazing. And in their first game, he couldn't shoot very well, but he put up a triple-double. Went out there, put up 21 points, which is low for him, but he was able to put together 10 rebounds and 10 assists to go along with that. In their second game, he shot the lights out. He put up 25 points in the first quarter, and he was hitting from like 10 feet behind the three-point line. He had one shot in the third quarter where he was basically standing on the logo at half court and drained it. Put up 45 points in that game, grabbed another 10 rebounds, which as a 6'3" guard is incredible, and then dished out some more assists on top of that. This is a team that, when they get Klay Thompson back, depending on how he's playing, they could actually push to be one of the top four or five teams in the West, which is higher than what I thought they would be. I thought with Steph getting older, Draymond getting older, Klay coming off of 2 years of injury, they're really going to struggle, especially early on. But they've gotten great performances out of Steph Curry. Draymond Green's looked pretty good. Jordan Poole has been amazing as just a guy that just fires shots like crazy off the bench. Now, he's been in the starting lineup, but he's mostly there to play with the second unit. And once Klay comes back, I'm sure he'll move to the second unit full time. Kevon Looney's looked good as their starting center. This is a team that, I would not be surprised if they're somewhere in the fourth or fifth seed in the West this year. Which is not where I expected them to be. And then the last team that I wanted to talk about that's kind of living above expectations, but I just wanted to bring them up because they're an exciting team. And, like, if you have NBA League Pass, I would be watching them, and that's the Chicago Bulls. They have a lot of offense on this team. And then they filled the rest of the roster around them with guys that are just super high-energy players. Guys like Javonte Green, Alize Johnson, and Alex Caruso. Just super high-energy. They're going to come up with a lot of steals. They're going to grab offensive rebounds. They're going to be diving for the ball. And then their main group, you have very good offensive players in Zach LaVine. Zach LaVine's an all-star level offensive player. DeMar DeRozan's made a bunch of all-star games in his career. Nikola Vucevic is a great starting center on the offensive end. Defense, all three of those guys really struggle. And that's, I think, going to be their downfall this year. I don't think they're going to be able to push their way into one of the top teams in the East. But I think they can make the playoffs, which is pretty exciting for the Bulls because they haven't been there in a while. And then Lonzo Ball last night went up against his former team, the Pelicans, and put up a triple-double. 17 points, 10 boards, 10 rebounds, grabbed a couple steals. I think he blocked a shot. So this is a very exciting team. And Javonte Green and Alize Johnson, when those two guys come in, they can completely change the way a game's going. If the pace is kind of moving kind of slow, those guys with their hustle just absolutely change a game. So now let's move to teams that, again, we are very, very early in the season, but teams that are disappointing. Lakers. Russell Westbrook is going to kill this team. I would be very surprised if there's not an attempt to trade him away by the trade deadline. I think LeBron James is going to grow sick of him and basically tell the Lakers that he's got to go. For whatever reason, they decide, again, they have Anthony Davis and LeBron James, two amazing, talented players. Around them, you need to put guys that can knock down threes and can defend. Instead, they start DeAndre Jordan at center. DeAndre Jordan can't hardly move anymore. He's not a good defender anymore. He can't give you hardly anything on the offensive end. Meanwhile, Anthony Davis could very easily run most of your center minutes. And then they run, you know, Russell Westbrook as their point guard. He can't shoot. When they played the Suns last night, the Suns were daring him and Rajon Rondo to shoot. That's why Russell Westbrook put up as many points as he did, which was only 15. Was the Suns were like, hey, if you want to shoot from the three-point line, go ahead. We don't care. Like, we're here to stop Anthony Davis and LeBron James. And, you know, the final score of that game with the Suns, I think they ended up losing by 12. But it was a way bigger blowout than that. It was, you know, both teams, or the, you know, the Suns put in, like, their second and third unit guys. And, of course, the Lakers made the score a little closer. But they dominated that game. They destroyed the Lakers. And now the Lakers are 0-2 heading into the rest of the season. Of course, there's a lot of season left, and LeBron James and Anthony Davis together are going to win you a lot of games. But, you know, you look at their first game against the Warriors. Both LeBron and Anthony Davis put up over 30 points. But Russell Westbrook, Rajon Rondo, and the rest of that roster were so destructive to what they were doing that the Warriors beat them, even with Steph Curry not being able to knock down shots. So first off is the Lakers that have been disappointing so far. Second is the Celtics. Now they pushed the Knicks to double overtime in that first game. But that was on the heels of Jalen Green having probably his greatest game of his career. He put up, I think, 47 points in that game, and they ended up losing. Well, then they played the Raptors a couple nights later, and the Raptors beat up on them. It was a huge blowout. I think that they ended up losing by like 32 points or something like that. Al Horford looks like he's cooked at this point. You know, he's 35, 36, somewhere in that range. He can't hardly move. Now, every now and then, he's going to come up with a great play because Al Horford's an absolute genius on the floor. But you can't be relying on him to be your starting center. He can't hardly move anymore. He can't jump. He's never been much of a jumper, but he really can't jump at this point. Now, Robert Williams can, you know, be your starting center, but he's an injury risk at all times. And then after those two guys, Ime Udoka, I've been kind of disappointed with his rotation because he's going to a lineup with Grant Williams as the starting, as the backup center, who's 6'6". And then around him, he hasn't put like a bunch of size around him to help make up for that. And they've just been getting destroyed on that second unit, even though they have guys like Enes Kanter and Juan Hernan Gomez, who, while aren't great defenders, at least have some size to make a difference in passing lanes and to obstruct shots a little bit, and have some very good offensive skills to help put up some points for this team. I think they only scored like 83 points in this second game. So they've been very disappointing so far. The Mavericks have only played one game, but they got shut out by the Hawks. I think they only put up 87 points total, and that's with Luka going out there and putting up over 30 points, and with Kristaps Porzingis looking decent out there. I think he put up 18 or 17, something like that. But the rest of the roster could not score, and a big reason I think for that is they keep playing too many bigs on the floor. They don't have enough shooting out there. Kristaps Porzingis at this point can't move very well, and it works best to play him at the center and then just put shooters around him. But instead, in the starting lineup, they put him with Dwight Powell. Later on in the game, it's Kristaps with Willie Cauley-Stein, or Moses Brown. Like, when Kristaps is out there, he needs to be the center. And the only other big on the roster that you can really play with him would be Maxi Kleba, who's a 41% three-point shooter last season. So Jason Kidd's got a lot of work to do with this rotation, but they've only played one game. Again, all of this stuff is super early in the year, so it's way too early to draw conclusions on anything, except for the fact that Russell Westbrook's a horrible fit with the Lakers. But other than that, you know, we're just trying to see some trends, trying to see how coaches are thinking. But we're going to see a lot of different changes as the year goes on. So the last thing I wanted to talk about was that there's some free agents out there that can be helpful for teams. But right now is not the time to be a center looking for a job. Every team in the league has two or three centers on their roster. And the NBA right now just does not lend itself to big men. It used to be a really normal thing to see two, maybe even three, seven-footers on the floor at the same time. The Cavs are the only team that does it right now, and it's a huge anomaly to what the rest of the teams in the league are doing. So centers right now, if you're a center looking for a job, if you're like Bismack Biyombo, Kostas Kufis, trying to think of some of the other guys, Vincent Poirier, some of these other guys, you're going to have a really hard time finding a job right now. But if you're a guard, especially a bigger guard that can defend, or you're a wing, you're in that 6'6 to 6'9 range, you can shoot a little bit, you can create with the ball in your hand a little bit, there's a lot of teams that are going to be looking to add guys like that as we get going on here in the season. You know, there's guys like Dante Exum and James Ennis still out there. So that's what I'd be looking for as far as roster construction goes right now. I mean, we're so early in the year. We're not going to see hardly any moves for a while. But those are the type of things that I'd be looking for. Well, and the last thing I wanted to talk about was guys that I think will be in the running for MVP this year. I think first off is going to be Giannis. Now, he struggled in their second game, but he was just so amazing in that first game against the Nets. And he's become a better three-point shooter. He's become a better free-throw shooter. So I'd be looking for him to possibly win his third MVP. Also, another possible third MVP would be Steph Curry. He's going to have to be the absolute leader of that Warriors team. And if they have some good success, he's definitely going to be in the standings there. I know, of course, they're going to throw Nikola Jokic's name out there, but I'm pretty ticked off that they gave him the award this last year. And so he definitely shouldn't be winning it again this year, especially if the Nuggets are like third seed or lower again this year. And then finally, Kevin Durant. Now, a big part of that is going to be how much can he get the ball away from James Harden. But I think Kevin Durant is just such a dominant player right now. If you watch the Olympics, you know, the USA team was loaded with talent, but Kevin Durant had to take over that team for them to win a gold medal. So those are the guys that I'm looking at now. I don't think LeBron really has a chance. I don't think Anthony Davis does. I think Joel Embiid, there's just going to be way too much distraction in Philadelphia this year for him to have a chance. I think Anthony Edwards is going to be taking up too many possessions. Same with D'Angelo Russell for Karl Anthony Towns to have a chance. So those are the guys I'm looking at right now. But with that, I'm going to go ahead and end this episode. Thank you so much for listening. You know, we're going to be all throughout the year, going to be very regularly checking in on how the league's going. Trends that we're seeing, any roster moves, stuff like this. So stay tuned in. But again, thank you so much for listening, and bye!